Thanks, Corey. Really appreciate that. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Wow, that's great. I'm going to need a lot of interaction this morning, so that's a great start. We're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 this morning, so if you've got your Bible with you, please turn there. I've fallen in love with my paper Bible again for some reason. Really enjoying it. But if you have an electronic Bible, feel free to pull that out as well. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, so that's where we're going to be. I'm a little bit directionally challenged. Anyone else directionally challenged here? Anyone else married to somebody that's directionally challenged? Okay, good. A little bit more truth-telling there. Yeah, good. Fortunately, it was only three lefts, one right, and another left to get here this morning, so I was all good. Didn't have to ask my wife for help in how to get here. But I have to tell you a couple of stories. I have to go somewhere a lot of times before I can get there without, help. And good thing I've been here a lot of times, otherwise it would have been needed help there. So good to have friends here. Bryce grew up with one of our sons, spent a lot of time in his home, him in our home as well too. So good to be among friends today. Light up parade. Anybody been to a light up parade near here? Yeah, a couple of you. Not a great place to be if you're directionally challenged and you're from out of town. And you park on that other end of town by, Bethel Church on the other end of town there, and there's some parking there. And then you get down into the streets and the all that kind of stuff. Well, we used to come, I think the kids, maybe our one son was bagpiping one time in the parade and another kid was in the band. I don't even know, our oldest son, maybe he was. So we had reasons to be here with our kids and I think even our nieces and nephews, but we also would come even just because we enjoy it. There were times when, I was driving the van and a whole lot carload of kids, and it's important for me to be there, kind of when they are. And everybody's like, where's Tim? Where's Mr. Clausen? And I would be going like the healthcare center, the high school, and then all of a sudden I'm back at the healthcare center again. Like, where am I? That's how bad it is for me with directions. And more than one time, coming from Nanaimo to Camp Quanos, I'd be in Duncan before I realized, oh my goodness, I missed two major landmarks. The market there and the open fields. Pretty obvious, Tim. That's where you turn left. But nope. And of course, a few of my sons have made the same mistake as they've fallen in their dad's footsteps in that way. But what about with following Jesus? It seems that it's easy to get lost as a follower of Jesus. It shouldn't be. It shouldn't be difficult to follow Jesus. Not only has Jesus left us a roadmap, I want to say this is more of a GPS. Like this is, you don't even have to be, back in the day you had to have the map all spread out in front of you while you were driving. Like talk about distracted driving. And now we're worried about somebody listening to, the GPS telling you where to go. The Bible is as clear as a really good GPS for us. When we internalize these words, they guide us from the inside. Some of you probably memorized a lot of the Bible when you were younger. Others of you are still doing that now. And do that. That is so good to memorize your Bible. But even more important is to get it here. Like drop it down those 18 inches or 16 inches or whatever it is into your heart. It becomes a deep knowing. There's a time in your life when you need that verse or you need Psalm 23 or, Philippians 4, do not be anxious for anything. And when it's memorized, it's one thing, but when it's in here, it is so much more helpful for us as well. Here's a couple of verses. We're called to hide God's word in our heart that we might not what? Yeah, that we might not sin against him. The word of God is living and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Yeah. It penetrates even to dividing, bone and marrow. What else? Soul and spirit, right? It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. God's word provides us with landmarks. It provides us with clear direction, a good road to follow. God's word even warns us of detours, of washouts, and cautions ahead. I'm not sure it tells you there's a police trap up ahead, but maybe it does. So what does the compass of God's word tell us about our roles as disciples of Christ? What does God's word tell us about our roles as disciples of Christ? And how is his GPS leading us, if you will? Especially this morning is how it relates to our vocation as disciples who are called to make disciples. Now, I'm sure when a missionary type person comes, you're like, yep, they're going to be in Matthew 28 this morning. Go into all the world and make disciples. Jesus said, all authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. He's heading away from his disciples. He's going back up into heaven. And he said, I am the king over everything. I have authority over everything. He could have said anything at that point. And he said, go and make disciples. We're not going to look at that verse this morning. We're going to go to 2 Corinthians 5. But I'm going to need your help in navigating this morning. That means we need to hear from you, like out loud, and you've already been good at that. So that's great. And maybe you're not comfortable with that, and I want to just say this is your day to break the sound barrier. That's what I call it. So if you're super comfortable talking in a group like this, just wait until three or four other people have had an opportunity. Does that make sense? And you know who you are, and the other people around you know who you are too. So just wait. We'd love to hear from some new voices this morning. So we're going to be in 2 Corinthians 5, 17 to 21. And Corey is going to come up and read that for us.
Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God.
Amen. Thank you, Corey. And this is God's word for us. All right, let's back up again to the first two verses, verses 17 to 19. All right. So this is your turn. I want to just ask a couple of people just to call out, what are we seeing in this passage? And just stick to these verses. Just stick to these verses. Not any commentary or anything like that. What are we seeing right here? And keep in mind, the Apostle Paul's talking to an ordinary church. It's a church that's filled with people just like you, just like us. What is God's word speaking to us specifically right here on Vancouver Island, right here in Ladysmith? So what's going on in there? What are we learning about Jesus? What are we learning about ourselves? Anybody?
To go.
Okay, great. Yes, yeah, we're new creations in Christ.
Reconciliation.
Yeah, reconciliation. Okay, very important. Good. Not judging other people. Okay.
Not bound by our past.
Okay, not bound by our past. Great. I always love it when I hear things that I hadn't heard before. It's really good.
Washed clean.
Yes. Yeah. What else?
Jesus reconciled the world, so we are to do the same. We are to follow in Jesus' example.
Okay, yeah. See if I can get all that. Jesus reconciled the world to himself, so we're to follow in his example to do the same. Yeah, absolutely. Good. Anything else?
Recognizing that it's God.
Yes. Yeah, recognizing that it's God and not us. Yeah, that's really good. Yeah. Good. Somebody mentioned new creation, right? Yeah, good. So if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. Good. There's some really beautiful stuff that we pointed out there. That's later. So I won't do that next. Good. Okay, let's have the next slide if we could. And I'm going to ask us, this is all of our turns to participate. Let's read that all together. Can we do that? Therefore,
we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God.
Good. Thank you. All right, same exercise. What are we learning here about Jesus, about God? And what are we learning about ourselves?
He did it for us.
Okay, yes, he did it for us.
We represent Christ.
We represent Christ, yes, excellent. Is there a key word for that? I mean, that's on the ambassador. Good, perfect, thank you. Anything else?
Imploring.
Okay. Yeah. Is there another word for that that's maybe more common in our language?
Urge.
Urge, yeah. What else?
Begged.
Okay, yeah. We urge you, we beg you, we implore you. Good. What else is plead? We plead with you, maybe? What else is going on here? Anything else?
That we are right with God.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, right with God. Someone over here.
Relationship.
Yeah, excellent. Okay.
God has no sin.
Yes, God has no sin. Perfect. That's good. One more thing. Somebody who's dying to say, or you're not dying to say something, but you have something.
God uses us to get the message out.
Okay, perfect.
Through us.
Yes, through us.
We're not perfect, but we are right in right standing with God because of what Jesus did.
Okay, perfect. So I'm repeating these mostly for the people online. We're not perfect, but we are in right standing with God mostly because of what Jesus did, or all because of what Jesus did for us. Perfect. Thank you. Good. So knowing these truths deeply, like not just here, right? Knowing these truths deeply here is going to increase our confidence and help us to build our skills that we need in following Jesus and in making disciples. So we're ambassadors. Whose ambassadors are we? Christ's ambassadors, God's ambassadors. Okay, same thing. We're Christ's ambassadors. Now, who is Christ? Remember in the Matthew 28, all authority in heaven on earth is given to me. So we are the ambassadors of who? God, Jesus. What can we give him a name of? The king? Yeah. Is he the king? Is Jesus the king? Anybody? Yeah? Good? Is Jesus the king? Anybody? All right, there we go. Good. I thought just four of you thought that Jesus was the king. Good. Yeah, Jesus is a king. He has all authority, and we are his ambassadors, which means that we are legal representatives of Jesus. Right? We have all the rights and responsibilities of an ambassador. So many of us know what an ambassador is physically, right? Somebody who represents a country in another country, right? They represent the sovereign or they represent the state. So you and I represent Jesus to the people around us. It's our job. It's our vocation. Like, it's not a It's not a, oh, that's for the missionaries, or oh, that's for the pastors or the evangelists. It's all of us. That is who we are. And sometimes we need a reminder, or sometimes this is the first time you're hearing about that. And that actually maybe gives you a twinge of anxiety, but I bet you it actually gives you more confidence. Wow, this is actually who I am. A Christian, a follower of Jesus, is someone who actually follows him and does what he did and what he calls us to do. By the way, it was so beautiful worshiping with you in song this morning. Wow. Kelly and I have visited a lot of churches over the last number of months, and yeah, I feel really at home here. It's beautiful. I'm confident that each one of you, as a believer, as a follower of Jesus, you want to share the good news of Jesus. You want to. You might even want to every day, but you maybe find it difficult. And I've got to confess, as a pastor for about 30 years, I need to apologize for my part in not helping the church grow in confidence as well as I could have. One of my missionary friends and professor, Mark Naylor, some of you know, he calls getting to significant conversations with people. Some of us find it really easy to get to a casual conversation, but then getting to a significant conversation, a meaningful conversation, even a spiritual conversation. I want to do better at that. And that's a part of what the Disciple Maker course is on Thursday nights. And what time does that start on Thursday nights? Anybody know? Six, thank you. I'll be here at 5 to 6 or earlier. It takes me 29 minutes to get here. Although at 6, it might take a little longer with traffic. Yeah, so Thursday nights. So listen, why is it so important that we all share Jesus? How many people does God want to be saved? Everybody. How many of us is it going to take in order to share Jesus with everybody? It's going to take all of us, right? In Nanaimo, one of my dreams is that by 2030, we would see 10,000 new believers. That's a lot. That's never happened. But you know what that means? It means one believer sharing with one person, and that person coming to Jesus, and that person sharing with one other person, and that person coming to Jesus. And that's 10,000 new disciples of Jesus. Does that sound doable? Like, yeah, that's doable, right? But not without God. Not without the Holy Spirit. Obviously, if it's never happened before, it's tough. But it's not impossible. When we have the courage and the desire and the skills or the tools to go from that casual conversation to a meaningful, to a spiritual one, and then praying for somebody and reading God's word together, that's when things really, really get exciting. I want to give you a couple examples. You might be, let's say it's, you know, whenever that weekend is that the light up happens. Your friend says, wow, can you believe how many people came from all over for the light up? And you're like, yeah, I know, right? Crazy? That's pretty casual. And then your friend says something like this. It seems like people are wanting to have a shared experience with one another in person, not just online. Okay, wow. Is that an opportunity for that conversation to become meaningful or what? I mean, it already is. But you can dive right in there for that to become a meaningful conversation. I want to encourage you, when that happens in a conversation, don't miss that. Like, don't take it back to the weather or the Canucks or something like that. Is anybody getting on the Blue Jays bandwagon already, by the way? Not yet? Okay. They won 10-1 last night, which is insane. I'm not a baseball fan, but you can't not notice that. You might say something like this to that person who's just said, people are looking for a shared experience. Wow, I think you might be onto something. What about for you? Is having a shared experience with others important for you? Now, okay, I get it. That's probably not likely that that conversation is going to happen. That's like a 1 out of 100, right? Or 1 out of 1,000. So let me make it a little bit smaller, or a little bit more obvious, or easy. Let me put it that way. So this is how the conversation starts this time. Does anybody know what happened in the Canucks and Flames game this last week, by the way? Preseason? Not a lot of Canucks fans here? Okay. Any Flames fans here? Calgary Flames? Just preseason. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, okay. They did, yeah. It was 8-1. It was 8-1. Can you believe that? Hopefully that's not the only time they beat the Flames this season. That's kind of embarrassing. Okay, so I don't really follow the Canucks, but I was looking for an easy example. So you hear, hey, do you think the Canucks are going to blow out the Flames again next week? And your friend, who's an avid Canucks fan, says, whoa, I didn't really realize it was preseason already. What was the score? Oh, they trounced them 8-1. Ooh, that's embarrassing. I kind of wish I'd seen that. Who scored? And you talk about that for a while, and it's a pretty casual conversation. And then you ask what might lead to a meaningful conversation. Because this person is such a diehard fan, you say, I thought you would have seen that game. And your friend gets really quiet. Well, I didn't want to say anything because it's kind of hard to talk about. We didn't tell you, but my wife's been feeling pretty crappy these last few months. And she ended up in so much pain game night that we spent all evening and most of the night at the hospital. We still don't know what it is. They did a bunch of tests, and they need to do a bunch more, and those are scheduled in the coming couple of weeks. So it was pretty tough, actually. Did that get meaningful all of a sudden? You go from the Canucks to something really, really important in this person's life. What might you say to turn the corner to a spiritual conversation? Perfect. That's excellent. Did you read my notes? Would you like me to pray for her? How could you maybe tweak that a little bit to get to a more of a spiritual conversation right then? Perfect. Wow, you did read my notes. Yeah. How about we pray together for her right now? Or to make it even easier, do you mind if I pray with you about that? Now, maybe you've never done that before. And so if you've never done something like that before, you might need to apologize to your friend. You know what? I don't know why I'm not comfortable talking about my faith with you. But do you mind if I pray with you and for you and your wife right now? And it's okay to do that. Your friend, if they know you're a Christian and they know that you go to church, they're already wondering, why aren't you having spiritual conversations with me? Maybe they've shut you down before, and that's a different story. But maybe you just haven't yet. And that's okay, but I want to encourage you to get there. You've had a sincere and a growing relationship with this person. You've been longing to get to spiritual conversations. Maybe you've even invited them to church. You've helped send their kids to summer camp. You know, Christmas and Easter, you've been inviting them. Maybe they've even come one time. But you yourself haven't really had a spiritual conversation. So let's say your friend says yes. And 9 times out of 10, that person that's going through something like that in their life is going to say yes. They say yes, and so you pray for that person. I want to encourage you, just really short prayer. Like no King James prayer, no, you know, 5-minute prayer. Just, dear Lord, I pray for my friend Larry and his wife, Rebecca. And yeah, you know what's going on in her life. Jesus, I ask you to heal her in your name. Amen. Just keep it really simple. And pray in Jesus' name, because he's the one that has all authority, right? When we're praying in Jesus' name, it's not just a tagline at the end. We're praying in the authority of the King, right? We've all watched cop shows. You know, you got the NYPD. Somebody knocks on the door. NYPD, they show their badge. Open up. Open up in the authority of the NYPD. That's what we say when we, in the name of Jesus. So it's not just a tagline. We're praying in his authority. If that lands well, you could ask your friend, hey, do you mind if I share a story from the Bible that's been really helpful for me? And if they say, yeah, you know what, I'm not comfortable, it's like, yeah, that's okay. Just continue on with your conversation. But you could tell them the Jesus calms the storm story, for example. And just tell it from your own words. And this is why it's important to get it here, right, and not just here. You know, there's a time Jesus was on the water with his disciples, and some of them were fishermen, and, you know, they've been on the water a lot. But this huge storm came up. Jesus is sleeping in the back of the boat, and his disciples are terrified of this storm. Like, it must be a bad one. They go to Jesus, wake him up, Master, don't you care that we're about to drown? And Jesus says, where is your faith? And he stands up, and he commands the winds and the waves to be calm, and everything's calm. And then the disciples are terrified of Jesus. Who is this that even the winds and the waves obey him? And then you can just share, you know what, I've had times like that in my own life where there's been pretty stormy, and I've had to look to Jesus to calm the storm. Does that sound difficult? It might be difficult the first time. Yeah. But if you've got that in mind, if those kind of things are in your heart, and you're praying for your neighbor or your coworker, and you're asking God for those opportunities every day, like if everything's going right in somebody's life, you just have to wait 6 months. And there's going to be something going on in that person's life where they need prayer. Maybe you're at a place in your life where you want to engage with your friends or your coworkers or your neighbors with your faith, and you're just not sure how. You know that you need to, and by need to, I mean you know that the Holy Spirit is calling you to step out in faith and to share God's love. And to share Jesus' life in you with others. You know, we've got Thanksgiving coming up. We've got Christmas coming up. Two beautiful opportunities to get into conversations with people. Maybe you've been praying about this for a long time and just didn't know quite what the next step would be. I hope that, you know, something that we've talked about this morning has maybe been a little bit helpful. Just knowing that you are an ambassador, knowing that there are some simple ways. Can I pray with you? I mean, you could get to, I will pray with you about that, or I will pray for you if you've never done that. You get off the hook of actually praying with them at the moment. But I want to encourage you to take it that little step further. Can I pray with you? You mean right now? Yeah, right now. And if you're in like a public setting, you can say, yeah, we don't have to make it weird. We don't have to close our eyes and all that. Jesus hears us even with our eyes open. I mean, it's already weird that you're going to pray for them, so don't make it even more weird. I'm going to put my hand around your shoulder and, you know, we're going to kneel down here at the parking lot. Just keep it as least weird as possible. Following Jesus is weird. Right? But it's good weird. It's countercultural. But it's what every single person around us need. I want to encourage you. Scott told me that there's a whole bunch of you planning on coming already on Thursday nights. Maybe you've been on the fence about it. Maybe you haven't even thought about it. Please, I want to encourage you to sign up today and to join us as we're learning more about these things. Because you know what? Even if you just pick up one new concept over the next 7 sessions, that could be a huge difference in your life. I did a part of this training in Vernon several months ago. I think it was in April. Yeah, in April. And one of the guys that took this Saturday course with us, him and I keep in touch over text. We didn't know each other before. And I just reached out to him the other day, and he sent me a long text back saying, Tim, one of those ladies that my wife and I has wanted to reach out to, I had gone out for dinner, or they had me over for dinner that night after the course, and he recapped the whole course to his family, his wife and his two teenage kids. And then he said, who are we going to pray for? And him and his wife said the same name at the same time. It was so beautiful. And so they've been sharing Jesus and praying for this lady. She's had a flood in her house, and they've all had to move out. And so one of her teenagers is now living with them during the restoration time. Like, how beautiful is that? And maybe would not have happened if he hadn't got one new little tool in his toolbox back in April. I don't know about you, and I'm not proud of this, but sometimes I see people not as divine appointments, but kind of as background noise to my plans. Someone who's getting in the way of me enjoying my vacation or, you know, my day off, or I'm just, you know, simply just, I just want to get my groceries and get out of here. You know what I mean? It's good for me to remember that Jesus came for people. He didn't come for walking around from village to village. Jesus came for children and moms and dads and single people and people who are divorced and caught in all kinds of sins. Jesus came not just to turn water into wine and five loaves and two fishes into enough to feed a hockey arena full of people. Jesus came for people, even or especially for people that we might see as an inconvenience at the moment, and to reconcile them to God, to see them become new creations, to see people go from certain death and separated from our Father God to life, to true and abundant life. That's what Jesus is calling everyone to today. And because Jesus isn't here in his body, well, he is here in his body, right? Because who's his body? Us. And we are called to be those ambassadors. I want to encourage you to join countless thousands of other followers of Jesus around the world who are learning how to do their part in making disciples. Someone prayed earlier, I think it was in a prayer or in one of the songs, is only the Father can draw people. You and I can't, we might want to drag people in, but only the Father can draw people to himself. It's as our Father is working through the Holy Spirit. At the same time, he calls us to be making disciples and to share this ministry of reconciliation, because God is making his appeal through who? Through us, right? Why did God choose to do us? I don't think I'm going to figure that out. But he makes his appeal through us so that those around us have the opportunity to join our family. Our family. To join our Father God. Friend, I want to tell you, it's your best life. I don't have any more joy than watching somebody else share Jesus with somebody else. Like, even for myself, like, you get to the end of the day and you're exhausted and you've been able to share Jesus with somebody, like, that's been a good day. And for me as a missions equipper to see someone like yourself doing that, like, that's almost more joy for me. Watching people turn from themselves, turn from their sin and trust in Jesus, I mean, it doesn't get any better. Will you pray with me? Actually, I'm going to ask you to pray out loud. Now, some of you are freaking out. I'm a guest speaker, so I can do this. In a moment, I'm going to just ask you to turn to somebody next to you and say, hi, I'm... Well, don't say that if you already know them really well. How can I pray for you? Because if we can't do it here... So, yeah, you might be freaking out, But Jesus didn't call us to be comfortable. This is the house of prayer. So let's pray. And I want to ask, so when you say, how can I pray for you, the other person, just take like 15, 30 seconds, okay? No epistles. Like just something brief that you would like prayer for. And then pray simply back to that person. Again, just really simple, what that person said, and then pray in Jesus' name, in Jesus' authority. Now, if you really aren't comfortable doing that, that's okay. Just say that to the person, hey, I'm not ready for that yet. I'll pray for you, but I'm not ready for that yet. And that's okay. There's no shame in that. But if this morning is the first time that you've ever prayed with somebody other than a close family member, would you come and tell me that afterwards? I would love to hear that. So let's do that now. Just turn to somebody near you and offer to pray for them, and then pray for them.